Hospital. Now let's head live to the Antlers for the Laker Hockey Show with the voice of the Lakers, Bill Crawford, on ESPN 1400.
All righty, everybody. We are back down at the Antlers, kind of looking around to see if Chris Sable's in the house. I don't think he's here tonight. We haven't had Chris join us for a while, and we'd like to get our sponsor on, but we'll see if he comes in during the show tonight. Bill Crawford, Damon Witten's here. We're going to have Stephen Perfetto join us during the show tonight. He'll be our player who we'll be chatting with in the second half. But, Damon, you had a weekend off. Lakers didn't play. I don't know if that's good or bad at this point, but gives you a chance to heal up, I guess, among other things. And what'd the team do last week, and what'd you do this weekend?
Well, I thought it was a real productive week for us. You know, you can kind of approach bye weeks in a couple different ways, and sometimes it's determined by what's going on in different junior midget hockey leagues, things like that. But we kind of made a decision as a staff to be all hands on deck. We wanted to make sure we got a lot of teaching and development done during the bye week. So for the most part, Rich and Pete were in town, so it was really good to have all the coaches around. Rich had to head downstate for a little event today and tomorrow as well, but he'll be back here shortly so we can prepare for Northern Michigan. But we got to mix it up pretty good too. We did a lot of different things. Again, we hit a lot of areas. We tried to not over-teach last week. We wanted to use it for more skill development and hitting some areas. We taught off the ice, did a lot of video sessions, and then we also sprinkled in a couple different off days just to let the bodies recover, to get ahead in academics and make sure we're doing well in the classroom. Probably the highlight for the players is Friday. We went across the bridge and had a curling tournament. So our players really enjoyed that. The feedback was really, really positive. Just, a little bit of a fresh air. We didn't tell them to Thursday post practice and just change it up a little bit, keep guys fresh and feeling good. And again, they really, really, really enjoyed it. So they had a good day over there curling during our normal practice time. And then we had a team meal over there at John Rhodes and got to hang out, a little different environment there. And some kids came back across for their Friday night and Friday evening. Some kids stayed at the Greyhounds game and went to watch another hockey game. So really productive week, and I thought it was a real nice way to end it on Friday with that for the guys, a little non-traditional competition, which they seem to enjoy. And then Saturday morning, we were back on the ice there hitting some areas as well. And then a real productive day, getting more back into our normal game preparation mode.
Yeah, we've got a big series coming up this weekend, Northern Michigan. The Lakers will be going over there. There is going to be an alumni event before the game on Saturday night. It'll be at the Ore Dock there where it was last year, and they'll have food and all sorts of things. And the fans who are listening in can join us over there on Saturday before the game. I know you'll make an appearance there before game two. But let's talk a little bit about getting ready this week. We're down to the final four games of the regular season, including senior night. We'll get into that here in the first half of our show tonight, too. But these are important games now. I mean, we've had chances to gain some ground and get some points the last four or five hockey games, and we haven't been able to score more than a goal in any of those games and have one tie to show for it. So now we've kind of got our backs against the wall here. We need to do some winning.
Yeah, well, we're still in a good spot. We're still in the playoffs as of today, but we definitely want to be playing our best hockey, and it's hard to say we're doing that. We're not playing poorly, and then we've been very tight defensively, which is critical for our team, but we do got to find a way to get the offense kicked up a notch. You know, we were talking stats a little bit today, and I think we've hit them pretty well. And you know, I think our team goals against average since Christmas in the last 12 games is tied for 10th in the country. And from where we were the first half of the year with such inexperience and youth on the back end, I'm not sure we would have seen that type of growth throughout the year. So really, really proud of that for our team, the way we've committed to our team defense and the growth we've seen. Gordy's a big piece of that as well. But this young D have taken steps. And then the commitment from all our guys. You know, we've asked our top players, our best players, to make sure we're great defensively every night, to be plus players. And since Christmas, we've done a really good job that way. You know, we mentioned Gordy, his goals against, I believe, is second in the country since Christmas. And again, he's been a big piece of that. But it's not just Gordy. You know, we've played very well in front of him and limited the grade A chances against. So that's been a big positive, a big boost for our team. Now we've got to find a way. On the other side of that, I think we're sitting 57th in the nation in team offense, and it makes every mistake magnified. It makes every goal against magnified. You put a lot of pressure on your young goaltender, and we've got to find a way. We've got to find a way to do more offensively, and from the coaching staff right down to the players, the power play, and we've hit on that. We've talked about that quite a bit, and we'll continue to stress that, and hopefully we can awaken again like we did against Bemidji and Bowling Green. And, you know, look at the difference in those games. Those are very good teams. Bemidji came in hot. We were great defensively, but that offense took off so much pressure. Mm-hmm. So we've got to find a way. We've got to find guys willing to pay the price to get to that area and make a difference and impact the game.
Well, we talked about this last week on the show, and you indicated you were going to try some different line combinations, maybe try switching a few guys around here and there to see if maybe there was better chemistry somewhere. Did you do that last week, and are you doing it this week?
We did. I think if people who attend practice in the room or anybody comes around, you look at the power plays, what we did. You know, one of the good things is we gave guys chances and opportunities to earn it. You know, we put some lines, some of our guys who are fighting to stay in the lineup, they went head to head. They went head to head and said, hey, you know, you think you deserve to play or you want to play, you know, go out and practice and show us why it's your line versus this line. So it was a really productive week that way, a really informational week for us as coaches. And some things we said, well, maybe we're wrong here. And some things we said, well, I think we've got the right guys in some situations as well. So it was good that way. You know, power play will be much different when we see it next time in Northern Michigan. You'll be shocked in one of our groups of who's playing net front and, you know, what he's doing there. So definitely some tweaks and some changes. We found some things, you know, knock on wood, but our power play in practice has done very well. So they've got to have that same determination and urgency once we get to the game Friday night.
Yeah, it'll be a tough weekend, too. We've got a team right now that we're going to be playing against on its ice that's kind of struggled all season long, but certainly played well this past weekend, beat Bowling Green at BG twice. Looks like Reed Sekel kind of came to life in the second game. He scored two goals, including the game-tying goal, and the game-winning goal was by one of their freshmen. But they're going to be tough because they're fighting for something, too. They're trying to get home ice in the playoffs, trying to finish in fourth place.
Yeah, they're in a desperate mode. And, you know, they had a great start to the season. Then they dipped a little bit. They played well for a little bit. And then, you know, before this weekend at Bowling Green, they got swept at home. So it's been a little bit up and down. You know, one thing we don't really know, you haven't heard much if Dahlstrom is still going to be out or he's healthy. Obviously, he's a difference-making goaltender. You know, Doan has been in replacing him, and now he's solidified his game as well. So Doan's giving them a good look now after some hiccups early on there. You mentioned Sekel. You know, I think he's one of the top players in our conference. He's a guy you have to account for. Not only is he skilled, but he plays hard. He plays with bite. So he's a good player. And, you know, they've got a pretty veteran Moxie D-core as well that makes it tough to get to their net. And, you know, if we remember back to the Anchorage series and the Big Sheet, we talked about one of our fears of us not getting pucks in traffic to the net. And we didn't do it. You know, it's tough when you go to that Big Sheet. And so that'll be something we'll hit hard this week, is making sure we're not passing up scoring opportunities.
Yeah, that's another good question, too. We're going to play at the Barry Event Center. They do have the Olympic-sized ice sheet. They kind of build their team to that, sort of like Fairbanks does. And they're tough to play in that building. Are you going to do anything special? Maybe try down at the Big Bear or something for a practice this week?
Well, I think so. We just found out today that they have a basketball game Thursday night as well. So typically Thursday night you go down and skate at the opponent's venue and at least, you know, get you a little feel for the boards and the ice size, certainly in this situation. So we lose that ice session there Thursday night, which is not ideal. You know, our young guys have not played there yet, so that'll be a new trip for them. So, you know, we're looking at it. Going to the Big Bear, it's just hard with class schedules. We have a lot of guys that don't get out of class to 150. We usually go on about 230. So now you're asking those guys to rush to the rink, grab their gear, drive to Big Bear, find a way to flip your brain into composure and compete from a scramble thing. So my guess is we'll end up over there on Wednesday, but we've got to kind of make a final decision on that tomorrow.
Okay, it's tough. We're down to that time of the year too. It has been a long season for these kids on this team. They've been on the road more than they've been at home. There've been some tremendously long road trips. Two of them up to Alaska, down to Huntsville, Mankato. These take a lot out of you, and we got a fairly young team here. So physically right now, how are we doing? And mentally, how are we? I think mentally is probably tougher than physically right now.
Yeah, this time of year with school and the long season, as you mentioned. You know what? I like where we're at. You know, that's Bill last week. I'm not sure if a bye week that late in the season is typically ideal, but because of the things you mentioned, the travel, the long schedule, I think it came at a pretty good time. And that's why we wanted to make sure we took some days off and got them right out of the rink. You know, one or two days we said, You're not allowed to the rink. Get away, refresh, recharge. So that way, I think we're doing good mentally. You know, a little frustrated certainly with the weekend before that. Mentally, we're good. You know, we're fully cleared. Everybody's healthy, ready to play. And, you know, we like it. We got in two really good, strong full body workouts last week. This week, we'll cut that back down to one, just kind of a maintenance phase to make sure we're ready to go Friday night. Probably the other big fear with that is, and I watched almost all those, Bowling Green Northern games live. You know, it was a playoff atmosphere. It was playoff intensity. Northern had the big comeback on Saturday night. You know, they're right in game mode. We've got to make sure we do some things as a staff and as a team that when the puck drops Friday night, it doesn't take us a period or two periods to wake up and get our game speed back. So we've tried to keep that instilled in our guys, and we'll do a couple of things this week to make sure we're ready when that puck drops.
We should be healthy now, too. Any injuries we've had should be pretty much healed up. I think Scott Patterson's already back in the lineup. He played that second game against Huntsville. So everybody should be ready to go, and it'll be kind of an interesting situation for you because you'll be able to use anybody you want. It's up to the coaching staff to decide who will play.
Well, it's up to the players. You know, I know you say that, and we ultimately pick it. But, again, you know, our players decide who play. You know, we don't sit back there and break guys down or whatever. We base it on what we see every day in practice. So, you know, that's the big focus we have all year long is that they determine that. And it's been good. It's been healthy. We had a line together today that we thought kind of we'll call them our so-called fourth line that we want to make sure they're great defensively. And, you know, too often the last few weeks, one of our depth lines was getting scored against, and that can't happen. I mean, they've got to be even or plus players as a line. And so we want to make sure we've got the right personnel on that line. And it's tough because there's some guys who have played well and done a good job there. But, again, it's about the defensive side of it first. You know, hopefully they can score a couple goals. You looked at how good Globke, Nardi, Vernacci were for that couple-week stretch when we won those games, and they were plus players that night. And then after that, you know, they maybe weren't able to get to that side of the ledger. So we want to make sure that line can play against anybody. You're going on the road. You don't get the matchup, and we'll make sure we have the right personnel there.
Going to be a good weekend from a trip standpoint, too, because this is the shortest trip we're going to make all season. It's a 3-hour drive over to Marquette, and, you know, weather notwithstanding or keeping you from getting there on time. But should be a good trip from that standpoint. It's not a long haul.
Yeah, you're right. You know, an easier one for sure in the bodies and the mindsets. And so, it sets up well going into playoffs, you know, the bye week, the short trip to Marquette, then the home weekend. So, you know, we've got to take advantage. We haven't done that as much as we need, obviously, the last couple of weeks. So it's a good opportunity there. And, again, we're going to look at our meal Thursday night. You know, we're going to eat here or eat on the way. And we got a couple logistics things to figure out with us losing that ice session over at the Berry Event Center. But, no, our guys are ready. You know, the bye weeks, they get old quick because the guys are competing and going against each other. You know, we're used to that structure of a game week and the short preparation in order to play against some other teams and beat up on some other guys. So it'll be a quick week here before we head out.
Down to the final four games, too, for the seniors on this team. And a couple of weeks from now, we're going to be honoring those seniors on Saturday night after the game. Lake Superior State probably spends more detail and time on honoring seniors after that second game than anybody in college hockey. I think we really give our seniors a good send-off. It's a tradition here. And that'll be a big deal, and that's coming up against Ferris State. And we understand you've got some other things in mind for that Ferris State weekend, too. You've got a civic honoring type thing you're trying to work out right now.
Yeah, we got a few details that'll be coming out hopefully in the next day or two. But trying to do a civic appreciation night where we'll have some discounted ticket rates for you know, state, federal, city employees. So, again, there are more details we'll follow on our website. And I think our coaches will go around to the different you know, firehouse and the police station and the border patrol and take some flyers and tickets with us. So we just really want to appreciate, you know, our fans and what they do certainly for our community and a little reaching out to them.
How important is it for this team to make the playoffs this season? We missed it last year. We had four games at the end of the season and had to win one of them to get in the playoffs. We lost all four of them. I think it's probably pretty important we get in, but it's important we play well.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. And, you know, you don't want to back in or slide your way in. So I'd agree. We want to be playing our best hockey going. And, you know, we've shown the second half that we can beat anybody. You look at Notre Dame, the way they're playing now, Bemidji State. And, you know, we've because we're great defensively or have been very good defensively and we get great goaltending, we're a very scary opponent if we can make it in. So, yeah, we want to be playing good hockey and we want to take advantage of these opportunities and not back our way into it. And it'll be very similar. One or two wins will give us the separation we need from Anchorage to make sure we get in. Some of those missed opportunities sting a little bit more because we didn't do it.
Yeah, right now the Lakers have a 3-point lead over the Seawolves of Alaska Anchorage in the battle for that final playoff spot. Of course, Fairbanks is out of the tournament. Doesn't matter where they finish. They're tied for sixth right now. There's a battle between Northern, Bemidji, and Ferris State for a fourth place and for that final home ice playoff spot. Bowling Green's locked into third. They can't go any higher, can't go any lower. Minnesota State, Michigan Tech playing for the top spot and second place at this time. If the Lakers get in, they're going to be like eighth or seventh, one or the other, depending on how these last four games go. Which poison do you pick there, to go to Mankato or go to Houghton? You got a choice there on that you would prefer at this point?
Well, you just want to get in and have the chance. You know, I guess, you know, physically and geographically, the trip over to Houghton's a lot easier than that long trip down to Mankato. But like you said, pick your poison. They're two great teams. And, looking again today, you know, I had a chance to look over some things that Michigan Tech's doing. I think they're now, if they're not leading the country in offense or team goals for, they're second. Team defense, they're first or second. So, they've taken a big step the way they're playing second half. Mankato's been good from the wire, wire to wire here. And there'll be two tough matchups no matter which way it goes.
Yeah, you look at Lake Superior right now. We have 40 goals scored this season. That's the fewest in the WCHA and one of the fewest totals in the country. Michigan Tech, 92. That's 52 more goals than Lake Superior State. No wonder they're up in first, second place.
Well, yeah. I mean, you want to be good defensively. They are. I think we've outscored Huntsville, so we're not dead last. And then I think Anchorage is just one off.
Yeah, you're right. Huntsville's 36.
We're near that bottom tier of teams there. And, that's something we want to improve on. We're obviously in a tight battle. We want to get in. But, for myself personally, I look back at my time at Michigan Tech and where they've gotten to and what we're able to build and the way we built it. And, talk about the team offense they have now, talk about that team defense. So, I think the blueprint for where we're going and what we want to do, we know where it is. We know that it works. And, we'll look to mirror some of the things they've been able to do in that short period of time over there.
How much emphasis as a staff are you putting on these games with the players? Are you making a point of, hey, we've got to figure out a way to score goals here? Do you talk about that at all? Do you sit down with players and discuss, hey, how can we improve our offense? Or do you just not want to get into that because it's been such a struggle?
Well, we do. I think it's, you can't help but know it's there. So I don't think avoiding it does anything well. As coaches everywhere, again, it's we talked about this quite a bit too. It's tough to teach offense. You can't just go say, well, do this and you score
right.
And, that's it. So, it's difficult that way. But, our biggest point is making sure we have guys playing in the paint, I like to call it, playing in the goalie's crease there. We've got to do a better job of getting guys there. And, it obviously falls on coaches because we haven't done enough of that or gotten there enough. We talk about Luke Sandler a lot and what he brings. I mean, he goes there. You notice him every game because he's not afraid to go there. He goes there like a wild man. He's taking cross checks and slashes and he's whacking at the puck and he's been rewarded and he makes us so much better when he's able to do that. So, we need more of that. We need more guys willing to go there. And then I think too, also, we've done a lot of work the last few weeks of trying to create second puck opportunities and just the desperation, the urgency it takes to anticipate where a puck goes, to win the battle for it, to keep your stick from being tied up. And again, tough things to recreate a little bit, but we've done a lot of that. Coach Mitro's done a good job with our guys trying to, develop our urgency and our desperation around the offensive net.
Okay, we're going to take a break here, our first break of the night on the Laker Hockey Show. We're live from the Antlers on East Portage Avenue. We'll be right back after this on ESPN 1400. Okay, we're back live at the Antlers on East Portage Avenue. I just looked a second ago. I believe it is 1 degree above zero right now, which is a little warmer than it was last Monday night when we did the show, but it stays cold in Sault Ste. Marie in the month of February, and we're going to have March coming at us here in just a few weeks. In fact, in a few days, we're going to be into March. We will finish off the month of February playing at Northern Michigan, and then we've got Ferris State coming in here. That'll be senior weekend. It'll be a civic honoring type weekend for you, too. That'll be a huge series. Ferris State, a very good team defensively. They beat us twice at their place. They're tough to play against. That'll be a battle.
Yeah, it will. We're excited for that series too. I think they caught us at a good time. We were coming off that, games 21 and 22 of the first half and the travel that we had. So, we had looked worn out at that game, especially that Saturday night game. And as we all know, we're a much improved team. So it'll be a good team, two teams that, score a lot offensively, so I'm sure there'll be hard-fought defensive battles.
We haven't really talked about it yet, but this weekend, too, we are. The Coppell Cup is up for grabs this weekend. Unfortunately, Lake Superior got beat 4-2 and 3-0 in the earlier games in October by Northern Michigan, so they got a 7-2 lead in that total goals battle for the Coppell Cup. It'll be tough to score enough goals to get into that battle again, but we don't care about that as much right now as we do about just getting a win over at Northern Michigan and trying to get some offense going. If we could score 3-4 goals in a game, we'd be pretty happy with that
now. Yeah, it'd be great to have a little offensive breakout and tighten that up as well. And, we do care. It's a rivalry. Obviously Northern Michigan and Lake State are a huge rivalry and appreciate that. I've been involved in some great rivalries downstate up in Alaska. And the other side of the UP. So, any chance you get to play your rival is an enjoyable weekend. And, going to that building and have their fans hissing and booing you, like, our guys will enjoy that. So it is an important cup. We put ourselves, behind the eight ball, no question about it. And once again, we're a different team than what they saw earlier. And, but like you said, it'll be tough for us to close that goal differential gap, unless we really have an offensive breakout.
Yeah, it's a funny team though sometimes. You go into a place like North Dakota. We were up 4-1 in the second period of a game at North Dakota of all teams and on their ice. And, strange things happen sometimes in this game.
Yeah, no question. Well, like I said, our guys are excited. Hopefully the tweaks to our lineup and the power plays will help create some energy and some offense. And, that'll certainly be a big key, but our bread and butter moving forward will have to be, that top 10 team in goals against average, that elite save percentage that Gordy's carrying in the second half. And that'll be our makeup. And then hopefully we can take advantage of our opportunities on the other end to give us some breathing room and some cushion and some confidence moving forward.
Okay. We've got a good crowd on hand again here tonight at the Antlers with us too. A lot of Blue Liners, a lot of Laker hockey fans. And we want to remind everybody that the Blue Liner banquet is early this year. It's going to be on March the 8th. That's right after we play Ferris State the night before. It'll be a Sunday afternoon. It'll start at 2:00 with the social, 3:00 with dinner. And, that's always a good time. And that's where you really pay tribute to the three guys is if you don't do a good job at it Saturday night, which we do, we come right back and go at it again on Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, it'll be nice to honor those guys. We've talked a lot throughout the year about what a good job they've done through a difficult season. Without their guidance and leadership, I don't think we'd have the second half that we had, the Florida College Championship. And, so they've been important, and I think they've done a very good job. It'll be nice to give them their honor and their due. With the Blue Line Club, we went around and around and trying to find dates. It's unfortunate that, the way our national body meets as a coaching staff, it typically coincides with graduation. So almost every school I've ever been at, you typically miss graduation because we're down at our national body meeting on important items that impact our group as an NCAA hockey group and scheduling games and all the stuff that goes along with any type of convention. So, so this date, we're going to try it this year and see how it goes. And I've been at other teams where we've done it like this and I think it works really well. One of the best parts about it from our point of view is that typically all our parents will be in town. We're coming off two home games. Most parents make the games of that way. So we're excited that the parents will have a chance to be part of it where sometimes when it's midweek later and there's no hockey, sometimes the parents don't make it. So I think it'll be a really nice event and a good chance to send these guys off on the right note.
Yeah, I do too. I think it's the right way to do it. You'll have all the senior parents there for sure because they'll be in town for senior night, which is against Ferris State or after that game on Saturday night. We've got some questions from the fans who are with us here today. And one of them, we get right into it with the Northern Michigan goaltender, Matthias Dahlstrom. He's about as good a goaltender as we played all year. He was very good against us in October, but he's been hurt. He has not played or traveled, or I'm not positive what his injury is there, but it's serious enough that he has not been able to even practice in recent weeks.
Yeah, they're pretty tight-lipped over there. You don't hear much about it. And, I don't have any further information than you do, Bill. But like you said, he hasn't even traveled or dressed with the team. So we'll see. You know, Doan's, like I said, after a little bit of a rocky start, Doan's got into the groove a little bit, but you know, he was their MVP of the first half, no question about it. They're a little bit different team without Matias. And he's a good goaltender, and you know, we'll see what happens as we move closer to it.
Yeah, Michael Doan will probably play the games this weekend at Northern Michigan. He's a former Sioux Eagles goaltender, played for the Thunderbirds as well when the Eagles were in the Northern Ontario League. He's a big, tall kid. He's very capable, and I think he's kind of growing into that job. It's hard to get thrown in, and he struggled for a while, but obviously he played pretty well this past weekend at Bowling Green.
Yeah, it was really good. I mean, that was one of the key things there. And, you know, he made some huge timely saves late in the game when Northern was starting to get life back and starting to roll a little bit. You know, BG came down with some great scoring chances. And that's what you need, that big timely save from your goaltender. And Doan did that for them. And, you know, we saw what a tough place that is to play at Bowling Green. And they were great crowds there. Like I said, I watched both those games on WCHA TV. And, He played very well, so we'll have our hands full.
We've got a couple other questions here from fans with us tonight. We don't have the two pages of questions we had last week. That was great. That was the best ever. But we've got five or six questions here tonight. Any ideas on how the playoff tiebreakers work for or against us? Like Lake Superior's in a battle right now with Huntsville and Anchorage for the 7th and 8th places. Who owns the tiebreakers there?
Well, I believe the first criteria is your head-to-head if you've played four games. So in the four-game series, it goes to that. So Huntsville would take that because of their record against us. You know, as you get away from that, they look at how you did against the first place and second place team. So I haven't broken down extensively beyond that, knowing Huntsville has that one. So we can't leave it to chance. We got to take care of our own business here.
Yeah, well, Pat O'Neill's all over it. He gave this to me this afternoon. Anchorage does not own a tiebreaker against the Lakers, not yet anyway. It depends on these last four games, because what it'll go to there is league victories. And right now the Lakers have won 6 in league play, and the Seawolves have won but 4. And the Seawolves have a series against Bowling Green at home this weekend, and then they play against Alaska at home that final weekend. So both their series are at home, which will give them a little bit of an advantage, but they've got to win 2 games just to tie Lake Superior right now.
Yeah, and then that's, you know, a tough for where they've been and the teams they have coming in. And, you know, one of the most surprising weekends of the year for me was, you know, we talked about rivalries in the Capital Cup up in Alaska. When I was in Anchorage, we had the Governor's Cup between mm-hmm. the Alaska schools and rivals and heated and all that stuff. For Anchorage to go up to Fairbanks a month or two ago when Fairbanks was starting to play well again, I was shocked at those results. I didn't think they could go in there and sweep Fairbanks. So Fairbanks will certainly have revenge in their mind. They've talked a lot lately in Fairbanks about, you know, they can't make the playoffs this year, but they want to finish in a top four spot and show everybody what they could have done. I think they're just outside of that now, but they're playing for pride, and they'll be angry going down to Anchorage. So it'll be interesting to see those results there.
Yeah, they can definitely finish in fourth place. It depends on what happens with other games. They're only 2 points okay. behind Northern Michigan and Bemidji State, and they're tied for fourth place right now. So, you know, they've got yeah. 4 games left, and Alaska's got a goal set, and that's what it is. They want to finish in the top 4 yeah. so they can tell everybody how good they would have been had they been able to play in the playoffs. How old can you be and still be able to play for the Sioux Eagles here in Sioux St. Marie, and is there an age limit on playing at Lake Superior State?
The Sioux Eagles, if you turn 21 and you can turn 21 and be playing junior hockey, but you have to fully enroll in college credits at that time. Full-time enrollment once you're 21 to maintain your 4 years of eligibility. Actually, Gordy Dayfield falls in this rule. Gordy wasn't aware of the rule last year when he was playing out in Coquitlam. Because they took their team on such a long run, Gordy turned 21 without being fully enrolled. He loses a year of eligibility. So typically it's a 20-year-old, but if you do turn 21 and you enroll full-time, you maintain your 4-year window of eligibility. So you can play up to 21. Most kids are done. That's typically if you have an early birthday. Most kids with a later birthday don't typically fall into that. But as most of you know, a lot of that league, a lot of junior leagues have a lot of 94 birth years, which are 20-year-olds this year. But if you have a January, February, March birthday, look out, because you can get in a little bit of trouble there if you're not taking classes. In terms of Lake State, you have 5 years of eligibility to play 4 years. So if you play to your 21, you know, typically 25, 26, somewhere in that window is where you can play to.
Hope that answers that question for you. What's the breakdown for the playoffs this year in the WCHA? It's top 8 teams play, but who plays against whom in the first round, and then where does it go after that?
Go ahead, Bill. You take that one.
Okay. It's 1 versus 8, 2 versus 7, 3 versus 6, 4 versus 5. Home ice of the higher finishing team. And then it goes to a reseeding situation with the top seed playing the bottom seed and the middle two seeds playing against each other. But it depends on who wins those first series. So it's pretty simple stuff. The WCHA does a good job with it. I believe this year the Final Four will be at the XL Center over in Minneapolis or in St. Paul, Minnesota. And then it switches next year. I think it's at down at Van Andel in Grand Rapids. I think every other year it's going to go to one of those two places.
Yeah, correct. And that first round is best of three, I think, as everybody in this building knows, but maybe some of the fans listening. So it's a home ice best of three in the first round and then a reseed going down to St. Paul.
Yep, and it's Final Four that go to St. Paul, so we eliminate four teams in that first round. The Lakers want to be a part of that, want to try to pull a big upset either at Mankato or at Michigan Tech.
Well, Stephen Perfetto's here, so when you get him on the air shortly, you can ask Stephen how we're going to get the offense ramped up here these last couple of weeks, and obviously he's been a big catalyst for our team really all season long, but his play of late certainly has been probably the best on our team. So he's a great guy to have on moving forward, obviously one of our seniors and assistant captains. So Stephen will have all your answers on our offense getting ratcheted up.
Yeah, let's put the pressure right on the kid right away here. Okay, we're going to take a break, our second of the night. We'll be back in just a minute. Stephen Perfetto will join us in our third segment on ESPN.
I didn't know he was going to go. That'd be hilarious.
Lakers senior, and I think we had Domit on a couple of weeks ago, and the first question to him was, can you believe how fast this 4 years has gone by? So we'll hit you with the same thing, because I know it's like a blink and it's gone.
Yeah, it's funny you said that, because the other weekend my parents came up and we went over the Canadian side to get dinner, and my dad looked at me and said, do you remember the first time we crossed this bridge? And I said, yeah, it seems like yesterday. So it's just how fast it goes by. You blink an eye and it's done.
Yeah, and this past week you had a little bit of a chance to do something a little bit different, because we had a weekend off. We didn't play. We tried to come up with some things for the guys to do that are a little bit out of the ordinary. And on Friday, everybody went over. I'm assuming you went to Sioux Curlers Association over there. There's two curling clubs in Sioux, Ontario. There's Darren Torres as well. But I'm assuming you went to Sioux Curlers and just had a good time. Bunch of three-man teams, and got exposed to a sport you're not used to.
Yeah, it was a lot more challenging than you think it is. That's for sure. It's the throwing the rock. It's a lot. The touch of it's just really soft. Like if you put too much on it, it's right at the end of the course.
Yeah, I was gonna say, how many guys on the Laker hockey team have ever curled before, and how many rocks went bouncing off the far end wall the first time they tried it?
I don't know. I probably think everybody, to be honest.
Yeah, It was a good time had by all. And then you ended up going for dinner and, some good camaraderie there. Everybody in this team gets along pretty well together anyway. It's nothing new there. And, you guys certainly know each other well. But, were there any, shots exchanged here between guys when you were curling, or did you, just let it go as, hey, this is a good experience?
I think it's always a little bit competitive. Guys want to win, but we weren't the greatest, so we just kind of laughed at each other and had a good time.
And I understand that you let some of the like the student managers got in on this, and was Peruche there?
No, Wes made an appearance, and he had a lot of fun. I drove him home after, and he was still laughing about it, so I'm glad he enjoyed it.
Yeah, oh, yeah, he'd have a good time with that. Wes DeYoung, one of our student managers, getting involved with the curling as well. Let's talk a little bit about the finishing up this season. We've got four big games left here, and I know how competitive you are, and Domit is, and Chris Ciotti is. The seniors certainly will be ready to play at Northern. You've done it before. You know what you're getting into there, and then coming home against Ferris State.
It's down to the wire now. It's playoff hockey, so we're all, I think it's not just the seniors. I think it starts with us, and everyone's kind of just waiting for our intensity to practice in, practice out, game in, game out, but it's the last four games, I think everybody realizes what's at stake and what's on the line.
Yeah, we need points. We need to score goals. Now, Coach said a few minutes ago to put you on the hot spot when you get in here and tell everybody how we're going to create more offense these last four games. We've tried changing up some lines a little bit. You've played with Gus Coriale most of the season on your right side. I'm assuming maybe you've got a different guy on the left side this week.
Yeah, I have Luke Sandler, and he brings a little bit different aspect to the game than me and Gus Coriale. Gus and I like to kind of fly around and find each other in open ice, where Luke's the kind of guy that likes to stand in front and get gritty and jam home those dirty area goal. That's how you win playoffs. Pretty much, you watch the Red Wings last week. They won a 7-6 game. How many goals were scored right in front of the net with guys just jamming, whacking, and hacking, and
that's knocking goalies down.
It's what it's going to have to take, right? So if you're not scoring that many goals, get to the paint and bang home rebounds. And Luke's been successful there for this part of the season, so we're hoping that he can bring that to our line.
No, I think if I were you and Corey Alley, I'd be pretty excited about having Luke Sandler out there. The only thing I'd be concerned with is you've got to be ready to calm him down sometimes. You got to talk to him a little bit too, because he gets a little bit over the edge sometimes, and he's taken some penalties he probably shouldn't have this year. I think he's a heck of a player, though, and I'd be excited to have him playing on my line.
Yeah, like I said, he brings an aspect that Gus and I kind of don't bring. He brings that edge that, you know, he likes to hit guys, likes to create room for us. And, yeah, sometimes like players like that, they cross the line, but at the same time, that's what makes Luke him, and that's part of his game.
Yeah, and he's just a freshman, too. He'll pick up on things as it goes along. Northern Michigan, big ice, good place for Stephen Perfetto to kind of fly around in. Gus Corrielli, you guys can skate. It's not going to bother you to play on a wider ice surface that's a little bit longer. And then we come home, and senior weekend's always exciting.
Yeah, just the big ice is something I kind of look forward to. It's just one extra step that you have to beat somebody and one extra second you have to look around. But on the other end of it, if you're out of position by that one step, it's no matter how fast or how good you are, you're going to be exposed because it's just that much bigger that somebody can like take a step around you.
Now, this team has concentrated an awful lot, especially in the second half, well, all season really, on playing defense, being where you're supposed to be. There is a game plan every game as to what your job is defensively. What's your job defensively when you're out there? What are you supposed to be doing? And I know it quite often depends on where the puck is and whether you're on the forecheck or backchecking, but you do a pretty good job of it.
Just honestly trying to be a plus player every night. You don't want to be a minus player, and you want to make sure that you know what's going on in the D zone, or it's a little bit more complicated, the D zone. We try to run a swarm system, but it relies on each person doing their part. If one part's not at the going at the same time, then it kind of breaks down. So me and Gus, like I said, we've been playing all season together, and we kind of know where each other's going to be offensively or defensively, so we just kind of play.
Yeah, and how tough has it been this season, too, with all the young people? We've got a lot of freshmen in the lineup, especially on defense. We've had as many as five playing in games most of the season, freshmen on defense. They kind of got to learn systems and learn Division I college hockey. They're stepping up from Junior A at the Tier 2 level, and it does take a while to do that. It took us half a season, but we've played very, very well since winning that tournament in Florida.
I know how it is to be a freshman and step in the league. It's not so much the systems as it is just the speed of the game. When you're going from juniors, you know you have that second or two to pick your head up and look and make that perfect pass. Where in college, you don't have that extra second or two. It's going to kind of be, you have to know where the puck's going to be going before you get there. And it takes obviously a few games to understand that. And until everyone gets comfortable and obviously, confidence. As soon as you get some confidence under your belt, that could do a lot for a player. And I think a lot of our D have gotten that confidence since Christmas. They've been playing a lot better.
Oh, yeah, there's no doubt about it. This is a much better team than it was in the first half of the season, and that's got to be exciting for you seniors on the team as well. Senior night coming up in a couple of weeks, that's a big deal. You've been through it three times as an underclassman, watching the senior guys go through the picking up the flowers, the music, the going around the rink, all the hugs and all the adulation you get from the kids and the crowd, and it's going to be your night along with Domet and Ciotti in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, it's.
Have you thought about it at all?
I guess you always think about it, but I just want to keep playing, to be honest, and I'm just trying to take it game by game, and when that night comes, it's obviously going to be special for myself and my family, and it's going to be a smaller class than usual. Usually, I think of my freshman year, we had five or six. Mm-hmm. Sophomore year, we had seven or eight. And last year, we had another seven or eight. And this year, we have three of us. So it's going to go by a little bit quicker than it usually does. But it's always an exciting and happy time for all the family.
Well, then we'll have a playoff situation. We're hoping we can certainly qualify there. We're in a good position right now. We could use a couple wins here. But do you have a preference on whether we play at Mankato or Michigan Tech? Does it matter to you?
Not really. I think both teams are obviously in the upper echelon of our division, and nationally they're doing very well. It's just they're both going to be hard competition, and in playoff games, you never know what happens. You saw LA of last year, they came back and they won down 3-0. It's just playoffs. Just got to make sure you can grind and you're ready to go every night.
Yeah, it's a 2 out of 3 series. Anything can happen. I can remember a few years ago, Lake Superior, a real underdog, went to Miami and won 2-2-1 games and skated on to play at Joe Louis Arena. And that was a big upset that year of a very good Miami Redhawks team. So it can happen. We've done it before. But how about yourself now in the future? Obviously, you want to play hockey beyond your college days. Are you going to get your degree at the end of April, and will you go on and try to play yet this season professionally?
I think that's the plan. I would like to go and play professionally at the end of the year, but I obviously come this far. I want to get my degree, so I'm just trying to figure it out now. I'm just actually got off the phone with my dad, just trying to figure out what's our plan, what are we going to do in the future, and you don't want to come all the way to this time of your career in hockey and school and be 3 weeks away from graduating and then never graduate. It's obviously not in the game plan for myself. So just trying to figure out how we're going to go and do this, and hopefully I get picked up at the end of the year.
Well, you've done a good job here, and I'm sure you're going to get that degree whether you get a chance to play a little bit of hockey here or not. You can always come back and still pick up you can do some extra work there too. There's a way to do that. Your dad's been real involved with you the 4 years that I've known you here at Lake Superior State. He's a good man, and he is very much a positive influence on you, isn't he?
Absolutely. He's just somebody I look up to all the time, and he's always there for me when I need him.
Yeah, he's been around since I think I've seen him as much as I've seen any parent in 4 years' time, because he's almost at every game. But, Stephen, how about the schooling now? Is it going good for you? What are you majoring in? What will that degree come in?
I'm a business management major. It's going fine. I'm doing as well as I can. I'm working hard and just trying to, like I said, get that degree, and we're going to hopefully go out to the workforce one day and use it.
Now, we had a weekend off here this past weekend. It gives you a chance to kind of rejuvenate a little bit, maybe recharge a little bit. I know I saw all the guys at both basketball games Thursday and Saturday, supporting the Laker basketball team too, and it's kind of fun to get a diversion there now and then. That's why the curling last Friday.
It's always good to step away from the rink and just have some time to yourself and understand what other guys are going through, and it's good to get that camaraderie back. And we went for dinner obviously together as a team, and then some of us stopped at Tim Hortons and went back. We caught a flick together. Just get to step back once in a while and relax.
Okay, well, let's hope that the relaxation pays off. We get something done over at Northern Michigan, and then 2 weeks from now we play Ferris State here, and then a playoff series. Let's be positive about all this. We're going to get it done.
Absolutely.
All right, Stephen Perfetto joining us here tonight. We appreciate him stopping by. Good luck in the future. We'll be back with our final segment of the Laker Hockey Show on ESPN 1400.
Thank you.
Now let's go back to the Antlers Restaurant as the Laker Hockey Show continues with your host Bill Crawford on ESPN 1400.
All right, we're back for our final segment of the show tonight. We've got about 8 minutes remaining here. I'll tell you, we talked to Stephen Perfetto about how fast the career goes by when you're a college hockey player. This show goes by. We never have enough time in here. We could sit here for a couple of hours. But, Damon, I think people always ask about recruiting. We like to bring them up to date all the time. We do have names that we've thrown out there from the first half signing period, which was in November. We do have a number of young men who've signed to come here next year. You're working on more now. I got a question today from a fan who texted me to ask about the possibility of us competing. In fact, he said something to the effect of, I hear that we had a young man in last week who's also being recruited by BU or BC or somebody in North Dakota's looking at him, and they've offered him, and he still came here and took a look at things. He said, I think that's great if that's going on. Are we in battles with some of the big guys that play Division I college hockey for players?
Well, no question. I mean, I think, part of our philosophy is to go find the best players that fit our system. And guys who want to be Lakers, and they don't all want to be Lakers. Sault Ste. Marie's not for everybody. I mean, we know that. But at the same time, Minneapolis or Ann Arbor is not for everybody either. So, I think part of our philosophy is make them say no. You want to be involved in the best players. And, one of the kids I mentioned, I thought we were in a really good spot with the kid I had a good relationship with. And then, you know, he committed to North Dakota. So we're in a battle that way. We've got a kid, it's between us, Minnesota, BU. He's eliminated BU. And there's a lot that plays in it. There's opportunity. You know, we're in a coaching transition, so you can sell to some kids. You know, you're going to get a really good chance to play major minutes through a coaching transition, potentially a little bit like, you know, we talked about Tech's juniors and seniors. They were our first recruiting class. Now there's three of those guys in the 100-point club. So there's some opportunity to recruit kids, especially early on, that'll get a little bit more minutes in a transition here than maybe they would at Minnesota or wherever else. So, you know, we're not afraid. We're going to go after guys we like, whether North Dakota is or Michigan or whatever. If we like them, we're going to be on them and aggressive with them and show them what we have to offer. And ones who want to be Lakers will become Lakers, and ones that's not a fit for, they can tell us no and we'll move on.
Yeah, it's a pretty competitive situation, and yet Lake Superior State does have scholarships to offer. It does have great facilities. It's got a good small school that's very good academically. And, hey, small town environment, there are guys who look for that sort of thing. We built a national championship program here on guys like that.
Well, I think we have a ton to offer. And, you know, I mentioned a lot early in the year, the kids that, and you can't get everybody in, you know, time-wise, financially-wise, but the kids we've had on visits, whether official, unofficial visit, we've got a great percentage with those guys. If they can sit down and the relationships Pete and Rich build, I think that a lot of people in this room know those guys, how personable they are, how smart they are, what good hockey minds they are, and how they can relate to their kids and their families. So the kids we've had in town and to see the facilities, to see what hockey means to this area. I was thinking about that. I think it was yesterday, like in our league in particular, and Sault Ste. Marie especially, how great hockey is in these communities and this environment, how much it means to this area. And, you know, who wouldn't want to be part of that? You know, you can go places where you're third fiddle, fourth fiddle, but you come here, everybody's going to be a lot of people will be talking about you. You know, I go out, people are telling me how to run the power play, and that's fantastic. People care. They're passionate, and you know, I think that's good for a lot of people. And you know, we're pretty excited about what we're bringing in. I think you always are this time of year, but you look at you know, a couple of our kids have signed. Anthony Nellis is second in his league in scoring, not just you know, his team, but his whole league, in a good hockey league where Alex Globke came from. He's second there. You know, he's a forward. He can play every spot on the ice in the power play. We got another guy who has not signed, who's a top scorer out in another league out west there. So, and a lot of their guys are going to fill really good roles. You know, some of our guys are elite skaters. We've got one kid coming in who might be the fastest kid in our team. He's not going to be the most offensive team, but he's going to be a great depth guy and a penalty kill guy. So we really feel like we've hit a lot of needs in this next year's class, and we're not done. We're still looking. You know, you're always looking. You're always trying to improve your team.
Yeah, we've got quite a few kids who signed early, and we're going to have another signing date. I believe it's, what, middle of April when
Correct.
We have the next?
Yep, in April will be the next signing.
And there will be more guys signing at that time. I understand, too, you mentioned it to me a moment ago, that we're going to play at Michigan State next season in 2015-16, and then they're going to come here the following year.
Yep. They're on the docket. And again, you know, that's ongoing too. Like you said, that's tough because you're 3-4 years out with a lot of schools. And, you know, Dr. Plager was great. He was talking to some of his old, Wisconsin associates, and we've had a good email exchange about trying to find dates in the future to get the Badgers back on the schedule and then get down there. You know, Madison's a great place to play. And, you know, I know Mike likes to take his team to environments up here. I'm not sure how often they've been up here, but that'd be a good series, you know, talking to Michigan. So, same thing as recruiting. You know, we want to go to great environments. You know, I thought the trip to North Dakota was great for our guys to play in that environment and to compete. And, you know, it's good for your team to go play buildings like that, to go play teams like that. So we'll continue to work on that. You know, that year's done. 16-17 is pretty much done. 17-18 we've got to work on and find some home dates especially. So, but that's how far out it is. You know, we're talking 3-4 years out, 4-5 years out with some schools. And so there's a coaching change to put you behind the eight ball a little bit and getting some of that thing scheduled.
Okay, now when you sit down with Pete and Rich and you're talking about recruiting, and obviously you've been doing this all year, what's the top needs we have right now? Just the best players we can get, or are there certain positional things that you want to fill?
Yeah, I think it's both. You know, I think when we look, if you ever stop into the rink and come up to our office, I'm not sure we'll be able to show you, but we've got a board up in Pete and Rich's office. It's probably 6 to 8 feet. Tony or Roy, 6 to 8 feet long. It closes so we can cover it and keep it covered. But on that board, we've got 3 or 4 years mocked out. So we've got our lineup for 16, 17, 17, 18, 18, 19 up there. Another big giant list of, different birth years, different players we're looking at. So, you know, and you might go in tomorrow morning and erase two names because they just committed somewhere, or you might erase one because they're going to be a Laker and there might be some news on that. So, it's a fun piece of it. It's always moving and there's all these moving parts and what you think you need one day might change. And, so it's an exciting time and I think our guys are really passionate about it. That's one thing I've really missed as a head coach is I love being in the rink. I love getting to meet kids and their parents and evaluating. I think that was one of my strengths is being an evaluator, and it's really hard to lose the time to get out there and the ability to hit the road. And so when I get a chance, I definitely try to get out there and, but that's a hard part. It's such a huge part of your life as an assistant coach. And even though there's some challenges and some difficulties, it's also you better be passionate about it because you better be good at it. And it's a very time demanding thing as well.
Well, we've got three seniors who are going to leave this program at the end of the year: Stephen Perfetto, Chris Ciotti, and our captain Andrew Domet. Those are tough leadership positions to fill. I think Stephen Perfetto will be real tough to replace, just as a guy who flies around and gives you a lot of energy every night. What's the message going to be to all these players? They got a lot of guys coming back next year. What's the summer message to our players as they head out of here?
Well, it won't be hidden. I talked to our strength coach today, and Coach Stats done a good job for us. We'll give the guys 1 week off once we end. And, that Monday after that week off, they'll be hit upside the head with the sledgehammer. You know, the way we came in, we were disappointed with where we were at. And, it'll be very obvious about how hard we want to work, compete, the strides we have to take off the ice in order to get to where we want to be and play the way we want to play. So I don't think there's a great hidden message. It's you better be ready. You know, you mentioned there's going to be great competition and, we'll see. You know, I think one of I give our kids a lot of credit. There's some guys in some tough situations, haven't played the way as much as they've wanted. There's been at least three or four programs that have lost guys at Christmas for that same situation. So, I think you always want to see kids fight and battle for their spots and stick with it and persevere. And our guys have done that. So that's been good. Now, will that happen in the next year? We'll see what happens there. We'll have an exit meeting with all of our players and we'll lay out, where they need to improve, where we see them fitting in next year. And, I think, through transitions and like I said, other teams at Christmas time, even there's been some kids that have decided to pursue some other options because of it. So, again, I think you always like to see kids persevere through that and work through that and earn it. But they're going to know exactly what the expectation is and how hard you have to work and compete and what an honor it is to be a Division I hockey player at Lake State and the expectation we have for them to live up to it.
All righty. Sounds good to all of us. We love that kind of talk. We're going to be at Northern Michigan this weekend. We've got Ferris State coming here in 2 weeks' time. Don't forget the Blue Liner banquet that's coming up on the 8th of March. That'll be a Sunday afternoon. You can get tickets at the ticket office at the Norris Center. Damon, thanks for being here again tonight. Thanks to all you great fans for being here. Mark Sinangelo Engineering here. Jimmy DeSano back at the station. And Stephen Perfetto, thanks to the Lakers Senior for joining us. Bill Crawford saying so long from the Laker Hockey Show on ESPN 1400.